Lucky Land Casino, asking people, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
Lucky? In line at the deli, I guess?
Aha, in my dentist's office. More than once, actually.
Do I have to say?
Yes, you do.
In the car, before my kids' PTA meeting.
Really?
Yes.
Excuse me, what's the weirdest place you've gotten lucky?
I never win and tell.
Well, there you have it. You can get lucky anywhere, playing at LuckyLandSlots.com. Play for free right now. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus. Terms and conditions apply. See website for details.
Watching TV has changed over time. Streaming has become the new norm. That's why Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast dives headfirst to the world of cord cutting. Want to be on the loop of what's hot in Netflix? Or if it's not a preference, what about original shows in Hulu? We've got you covered. Join us as we fill in the blanks and talk about movies to stream and what show you should be binging. This is the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast.
Hello and welcome to the GSMC Television Podcast, brought to you by the GSMC Podcast Network. I am Sarah, and I'm filling in for Keith once again this week. Had hoped he'd be back, but circumstances have conspired against him, and he unfortunately was unable to join us this week. So here's hoping that he'll be back next week. He's okay. It's all good, so you don't need to worry about him. He's just dealing with some stuff and getting things taken care of. So hopefully he'll have everything dealt with by next week, and he will return to us. In the meantime, here is one of his, not so recent, but one of the first episodes he did when he came back to the GSMC Podcast Network. I hope you enjoy this re-listen.
Greetings, people of Earth and the known universe. This is Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, and I'm your host, Keith. And I've got some goodies for you today, some TV shows to talk about. I'm excited about The Siren, The Crossing, L.A. to Vegas, and Legion. So, yeah, we're going to have a good hour of fun just talking about what's going on in today's television, you know, the new golden age of TV writing. The writing for television has dramatically improved over the years. Some might say that it rivals that of the regular Hollywood making movies, that the writers for TV might actually be doing a better job than the writers who are making movies today. So I'm sure that's a debate that might go on for a while. Getting started, let's talk about The Siren. This is a new TV series that started. It's like a fantasy show. It's about The Siren is a mermaid. So basically, there's this coastal town of Bristol Cove, Washington, and it's known for its legend about the mermaids. And there's basically this family that's the founder of the town, and they're called the Pownals, and the two main characters, Elin Powell plays Rin, who is the siren or the mermaid that the show is focused on, and Alex Rowe plays Ben Pownall, who is he's a part of this founding family of the town, the Pownals. Every year they have like a festival that they do, and the father, the patriarch, comes out and he talks about how his great grandfather was in love with a mermaid and how the town got started. And he's got two sons, and his wife is in a wheelchair, which is interesting, dynamic. She's sitting there next to her husband on the stage as, he brings out he attempts to bring out both of his sons to show a united front, and that the family is this great family and that they love the city, that they live in. And, you know, it's, this festival is also good for tourism for Bristol Cove in Washington. So, and then, you know, the one younger son you know, Ben, he's just like a rebel. He doesn't want anything to do really with the family business. And he's got a girlfriend that he feels that maybe his family may not approve of. So, I mean, it starts from there. So the show opens up. Now, oh, by the way, this show is on the Freeform Network. That's the same new network that brought us Beyond. And I look forward to talking to you guys about that show, too. That's a sci-fi fantasy show as well. But so on the Freeform Network with The Siren. So the opening episode opens up with you got these guys. So this is a fisherman town. So, you know, mermaids are the legend, you know, the lore. And, you know, fish. So, you know, fish is the main commodity in Bristol Cove. So the episode opens up with these guys, these fishermen out in the sea. It's dark out and they're just doing their thing fishing. And, you know, and they catch something and it's, you know, and it's like jerking the ship. It's very strong and powerful. So when they pull it up, one of the fishermen on the crew gets bitten by whatever in the water. So, you know, they manage to cage it along with the fish. And when they take a look inside, you know, it's blowing their minds at what they see. And the one fisherman who got, you know, bitten by the, you know, the thing that was in the water, you know, he's in bad shape. So they're trying to figure out what they're going to do. So they have it caged up along with the fish. And, you know, they're trying to tend to their colleague. And, you know, they're, you know, the captain and the son, they're looking like, you know, what is going on? You know, all my time on the, you know, on the seas, you know, doing this job, you know, we've never encountered such a thing. And all of a sudden, a helicopter flies over the boat and these government officials come out and they're like, you know, we got it from here. We'll take what you found. And they're like, well, you know, my friend needs help. He needs medical assistance or he could die. This. And they say, well, we'll take him too. So so they take him and, you know, and the container and, you know, the father and his son who, you know, who run the, you know, this boat, they're looking like, what's going on? You know, what is this? So they get back to, you know, to shore and, you know, they're freaking out. I mean, they looked inside, so they know what they saw, but they still can't believe it. So eventually, you see a lab, and this is where, you know, that container was taken from the government, and they talk about what, you know, what it is that they have, and eventually you see a close-up of this big aquarium container, and you see this mermaid in there just looking at them, and you know, she's got teeth that look like fangs. So, you know, when you think of mermaids, you think of this beautiful visionary woman with a fishtail, you know, like in Splash with Daryl Hannah and Tom Hanks reference, check it out. You can Google it. And, that's not the case with this. This is not your mom and dad's mermaid or siren. Siren is another nickname for a mermaid because, you know, they would, you know, legend has it, the folklore, they would be like, on these rocks and they would sing, and it states that whatever they would sing would be so beautiful and tranquil that any sailors in the near area would come to it, could come to them, because they would be lured by the magnificent song that they were singing and they would be lured to their death. And I believe that's a part of the Iliad and the Odyssey, actually. So yeah, so mermaid and siren, they're one of the same for the most part. So that's, you know, one of the reasons why that name comes up. So when we see that, okay, so here's a mermaid. So, you know, I'm thinking, is this the siren? Is this the one that the show's based on? But as they say, but wait, there's more. So what happens after we see that there's, you know, this mermaid slash siren in the aquarium, and you can tell that she wants to get out. And then there's a scene, another close-up of the fisherman who got bit. You know, and he's hospitalized, so, you know, he's still trying to heal. Now, the boat that they're on, the father and the son who are part of the original crew, you know, they're back home and they're still reeling over what happened. And they're like, you know, we checked the hospitals and there's no word of our friend, you know, and they can't find, you know, their comrade who got bitten because the government took him and there's no record of him being treated anywhere. So they're freaking out, like, what's going on? So the one fisherman's son, he calls up Ben Pownall, you know, who's basically, you know, the main character besides the siren. And he's just like, I need for you to meet me. So he comes over to see, Ben comes over to see his friend, and you find out, so the fisherman's son also has a roommate, and, you know, they all work together on that boat, and they were all there. So you find out when Ben comes over to visit at the guy's apartment that there's kind of bad blood because he used to be a part of their crew and he quit on them. So the fisherman's son's roommate has ill will towards him. He's just like, you know, you left us. You, you know, you're not really down. You're not our friend. Why are you here? You shouldn't trust him. So the fisherman's his son, and the other coworker are all at the apartment. I should have said that too. You know, sitting at the table, and Ben is there, and they're like, you know, you're not going to believe it. You know, you know what I tell you, but it's true. And they're like, we found something, and it looks, you know, this is what it looks like. And they show him on their cell phone a picture or a film of what they caught. And he's just like, you know, that could be anything, because there's a shadow of someone's, you know, like swimming. So he's just like, you know, what are you trying to tell me? I don't believe you. This is, you know, you guys are imagining things, or this is some type of prank. So basically Ben blows them off. He doesn't believe that there was anything in the sea and that the government was just being intrusive for whatever reason. Right. So you also get to see a scene where before that happens, as I told you earlier in the day, you know, Ben's mom is in the wheelchair and she comes to visit Ben at his apartment. And she asks him, you know, how come you weren't at the festival today with us? You know, she's like, you know, this is how we make our living. You know, we needed for you to be there. You know, I'm in the wheelchair and there's not much I can do, but I show up and you need to show up. And she gives him a lecture, and, you know, Ben is just like, okay, I hear you, but I'm just not interested. So, and then the mom's like, so are you seeing someone? He's like, yeah, you know, this, you know, my girlfriend, and she's, yeah, I'm seeing someone. And, Ben's like, I don't want to talk about that right now. Basically, he's telling his mom he doesn't want her in his business. And the girlfriend's slept over, and she's like, how come you didn't tell her I was here? And he goes, you don't want to be a part of any of that family drama that I have going on with my father and my mom. So, you know, he's got that backstory going on. I mean, he doesn't believe his former fisherman colleagues that they saw something, or that, you know, or that they're co-worker and colleague, you know, was taken by the government and can't be found. He believes there's a reasonable explanation for all of this. Of course he does, right? So later on, what we see is Ben is driving on the main road. Maybe he's going home. I'm not sure where he was going, but that's not even the point, because while he's driving on the road, you know, a naked woman appears just walking into the middle of the street. So he stops, he gets her clothes, and he you know, because she passes out on the, you know, on the street, he stops, he, you know, he covers her up and puts her in his car, and he takes her back to his place, and he tries to talk to her, and she really can't understand what he's saying. So, and yes, you guessed that this is Elin, I might be saying her name wrong, Powell, her character is called Rin. So, and what's, yeah, and I'll tell you the funny story on how she got that name and how I think there's some irony with that, since the show is called The Siren and her name is Ren, right? Kind of cheeky, don't you think? So, you know, he gets her to the, you know, his place, yeah. You know, he puts some clothes on her, he dressed her up, and, you know, she looks around and she's just taking it all in. So now, mind you, you know, Ben doesn't realize that she is a mermaid in real life, at least not yet. So he calls the doctor because he wants to make sure that she's okay, and, you know, and that she's medically healthy and sound, because he doesn't know what happened to her. So he calls the doctor, you know, he tries to talk to her, and the communication is really, there's not a whole lot there, because she's still just kind of looking at him and she can't really say anything. So when she first starts to speak, she starts to sing, and she's singing this really beautiful melody. This is very angelic sounding. It's the siren call. And when he hears it, he's just, you know, he's mesmerized. you know, he's sitting there and it's almost like he's in a trance. And then all of a sudden there's a knock on the door. He's like, well, hold on. And that's the doctor. He goes to get the doctor so he can introduce the doctor to her. Now, mind you, he doesn't know her name yet. So he goes to the door to get the doctor. The doctor comes in. They go back to the living room where she was on the couch, and she's gone. She went out the window. So the doctor has never seen her. So the next scene is, you know, the mermaid walking the streets of Bristol Cove, just roaming around. She's got these clothes on that she's, you know, not used to. She stumbles across a clothesline where someone's hanging out their clothes to dry. That's old school. Some people like to air dry their clothes, you know. So, and when she sees these clothes, of course, there's some that can fit her. So she just takes them. She takes the clothes that she has on, takes them off, and puts these new clothes on. And she starts just walking downtown Bristol Cove, just looking around. And you're like, you know, what is she doing? What's she up to? So basically, she winds up walking into someone's home, and she sees this kid watching TV. He might be like 2 years old or three. And a cartoon comes on, and the character says, I am Ren. So then she says, I am Ren. So that's how she gets her name. But I just thought it was very cheeky that her name on the show was Ren, and it's R-Y-N, and the show is The Siren, like I said. But more about that show after this break.
Want to know the latest and hottest music hitting the airwaves? Don't be left out. Listen to the Golden State Media Concepts Music Podcast. Keith keeps you on the loop with everything you need to know from pop, rock, hip-hop, and the top 40. And we'll throw in news of your favorite artists, concert and tour dates, and so much more. Listen no further, because this is the Gold Standard in Music Podcast.
Hey, welcome back. Once again, you are listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, and I am your host, Keith, and we were just talking about the new TV series, The Siren. So, as I was saying, it was just really interesting how she received her name from a TV cartoon. So, she's wandering the streets, and basically she runs into a woman who has an antique shop. And this woman, when she looks at her, she can tell that she's a mermaid. So, and Ben has been trying to find her. Ben sees her. And Ren runs off. And Ben is asking, you know, the shopkeeper, you know, did you see her? Do you know who she is? And the lady's like, I don't know what you're talking about. She's just kind of trying to blow her off. I mean, blow him off, like, you know. We're not going to have this conversation right now. So what happens, eventually Ben catches back up with her, and she tells him that her name is Ren. But how that happens, Ben's girlfriend deals with marine biology, and she like rescues sea animals and, you know, nurtures them and puts them back in sea. And they have like a little tour that they have where the kids will come and watch them do this. So Ren is watching this, and the sea lions get, you know, the kids ask about the sea lions or the manatees. They pop up on the deck, and usually they're just really friendly, but when they look at Ren, they get really violent and agitated, and it starts to scare the kids away. So the kids have to leave, and the one little girl looks at the sea lions looking at Ren, and she's like, it's her fault, you know. They're mad because of her. So once Ben catches up with her there, and he finds out that Ren is looking for her sister. So the original mermaid that got caught at the beginning of the show was actually her sister. And there's a flashback scene where the two of them are swimming in the sea, and you see her get caught while Ren is left behind, and she gets traumatized by it, but she's like, that's my sister. And Ben and his girlfriend promise to try to help her, you know, find her sister. And the shopkeeper winds up getting back in touch with Ren. Ren gets taken in by the shopkeeper because the shopkeeper is like, well, I'll take care of you while we try to figure it out. And the show goes from there. It's just very interesting because we've never seen a TV show or series that wants to dive into the mermaid folklore or legend. So I really enjoyed watching that unfold because at one point, Ren gets sick and she's really sick and they can't figure out why. So she basically jumps into the sea and you see the transformation of her going back into a mermaid. And when she jumps into the sea, Ben sees her jump in and he gets worried that she's going to kill herself. So he jumps in to try to save her. But when he jumps in and she sees him, because she's back as a mermaid, she attacks him and he barely makes it out of the sea alive. That's when the shopkeeper explains to him that, first of all, you know, your family has a sort of history with mermaids in this town. They killed so many of them. And when mermaids go back into the water, they become feral and, you know, they become violent and very protective or defensive. So Ben is just processing all that information. Now he has to try to figure out, you know, where had they taken Ren's sister? So, and that's how the second episode ends. So where, you know, it was a 2-hour premiere of the show. But yeah, it's really fascinating. I'm looking forward to seeing how it all plays out. But I like what I saw so far. And this show airs on Thursdays on the Freeform Network. So you definitely want to check that out. So, and the next show I want to talk about is LA to Vegas. That's a new comedy on Fox. It's a half hour show about people who go every week. They just fly from LA to Vegas. That's just what they do for whatever reasons, for fun, for business, for both, for vacation. And their airplane crew that, you know, is, you know, that's involved in those flights, you know, and it's crazy. It's really good. It stars Kim Matula. She plays Ronnie. She's the flight attendant who yearns to be on a more prestigious airlines. The airlines that she flies for is called Jackpot Airlines. I kid you not, folks. It really is called Jackpot. Yeah. Now, this TV comedy is produced, executive produced by Will Ferrell and Adam McKay. So, you know, they got behind this show. So Dylan McDermott plays the airline captain, the pilot. And it's just he's very funny on this show. The show is, you know, he plays Captain Dave, Dave Prattman. You know, he is he's very, very arrogant, very narcissistic, very full of himself. He thinks that he walks on water. And his character is just a lot of fun. Dylan McDermott does a great job in this role. We're used to seeing him in serious roles. He was in the first series, I believe, of, or the first installment of America Horror Story. He's been around for a long time acting. So it's nice to see him as, you know, in this comedic role. He's got a little mustache and he's on fire. He's just really funny. Kim Matula, as I said before, who's the flight attendant, you know, she's the main character for the most part. Veronica, a.k.a. Ronnie Messing. She is also known for, she was a former daytime TV star. She used to be on the soap opera Bold and the Beautiful, playing Hope Logan. See, you didn't know that, did you? So she's getting into the big leagues now with this new TV series on Fox, and she does a great job. Before she landed this role, she was also on the TV series Unreal. I'll be talking about that in a future TV podcast. Unreal is off the hook. So that's that show that she was on. It was about, you know how you watch The Bachelor and The Bachelorette? So Unreal is a scripted show about the behind the scenes of those shows and how dark they can be and how the producers manipulate the actors to get a juicier plot line, a juicier story for TV to beef up their ratings. So yeah, she was on the last season of that. So she's been making moves. So yeah, she went from Unreal to LA to Vegas. A lot of fun, this show. I mean, what can I say? It's just very dark and it's very witty. And it's reminiscent to me of the legendary legendary movie Airplane that starred Robert Hayes. And that's an old, old movie. You guys are going to want to Google that up or YouTube that up, Airplane. There was an Airplane 1 and Airplane 2. And it had a host of a lot of people on that in those movies. Peter Graves, William Shatner was in that. Kareem Abdul-Jabbar was in one of the movies. Just very, very funny, very dark, very in-your-face humor. And this TV series seems to strike that type of chord. I really like it. It's just like shameless, shameful, funny, daring comedy. And it makes me shake my head and laugh when I watch it. I'm only like 2 episodes in and I'm looking forward to finishing this season, but I like it. It's funny because my aunt is the one who recommended that I watch this show. I'm like, oh, okay. And then I saw it. I was like, whoa, this is a lot. I mean, other characters on this show are Nathan Lee Graham plays Bernard Jasser. He is the male flight attendant to Ronnie, and he's very funny. And the show was her cohort, the way they barb about, you know, the passengers and the crew is just really funny. And Olivia Macklin almost steals the show. She plays Nicole Hayes, a professional stripper who's always, you know, she's always going from LA to Vegas, and you always see her sitting next to someone, always trying to recruit them to come to the strip club so they can ask for her so she can make money. And she's shameless. She doesn't care if you're old, young, straight or gay. She just wants you to come to the strip club just to watch her, you know, just so she can get paid. It's very funny. And Peter Stormare plays Artem, and he's like this he's this Russian bookie and gambler who's just you never know what he's up to and what his angle is, but he loves to harass the other passengers on the flights, and he just imposes himself on people whether they like it or not. And it's just he steals the show in his scenes, and he's been around for a while. He's been in other roles. He was in Taken 2, but he's played the bad guy in a few films. But yeah, you'll like him in this role. And Ed Weeks is Colin McCormick. He's a British professor of economics, and he winds up playing like Ronnie's love interest, kind of. I mean, they had this like romantic tension and, you know, sexual tension with each other, but nothing seems to come of it. It is not as of yet. There's a push and pull. You know, he likes her, she likes him, but she's hesitant. And then, you know, on one flight, she sees that he's with a woman and a child, and she thinks, oh, you're married? You neglected to tell me this, because she was starting to really like him. I wanted to get to know him because he's, you know, he's funny and dry and a little bit arrogant. And, you know, she finds out later that, well, no, he's divorced or separated. And, you know, they have a son, and he's just, you know, going to Vegas to visit his son and spend time with them. So that, of course, that melts her heart a little bit, but she still doesn't know whether or not she wants to date him. So there's the push and pull of that show. But I'm definitely looking forward to seeing where this goes. But like I said, you know, there's so much goes on with the comedy, I can't even keep up. I mean, I really like the show. If you like dark, funny, in-your-face humor that makes fun of everybody, you will like this show. If you don't like that kind of humor, then you won't. But if you do, I would encourage you to watch that show on Fox. It's definitely worth it. And like I said, it's a half hour, so it goes by just like that. It's just, yeah, it's really good. And once I saw that, oh, Will Ferrell was producing it, I'm like, oh, okay, cool. So, you know, I like Will Ferrell, so I'm like, oh yeah, this will work. This will definitely work. So yeah, check that show out, LA to Vegas. It comes on Tuesdays on Fox, every Tuesday. And you know, yeah, it's a first class series. But yeah, so, you know, the plot is, will Ronnie's character ever get on a different airlines that's more reputable, that pays more, or will she always be stuck on this LA to Vegas? and, you know, is the captain as great as he thinks he is? Because he... Yeah, I mean, the last episode that I watched, what happened was they're doing the, you know, they're on the flight, and as I was telling you about the one character who is a stripper on the show, she's sitting next to a man, and an older gentleman, and, you know, she wants to, you know, to pour on the charm. So, yeah, Olivia Macklin is Nicole Hayes. Yeah. So she's sitting next to this older gentleman, and he starts coughing, and she's like, oh, we have something for that, you know, just ask for this person. You know, she just got over gonorrhea. So, I mean, just, you just like, who says these things to people that you just met? I mean, you're so in shock. You're in shock and you laugh at the same time. But what happens throughout this episode is that this man winds up dying on that flight. So, and they're trying all they can to keep that from the passengers. And in the same episode, you know, Captain Day finds out that he's going to be listed as one of the top 10 pilots to look out for in this National Air Force the airplane magazine. So he's all excited and stoked about that, and he's been bragging to everybody about that. But while he's flying the plane, all of a sudden he starts to choke, you know, mentally. He's like, he's not able to like grab the control, and you find out that he's just, you know, he has all this anxiety. And when his co-pilot is asking him what's wrong, he gets defensive and he's like, nothing's wrong with me, why are you asking? Something wrong with you, this is your fault. Yeah. And then in one scene, he says to the guy to deflect from him and deter him. He's like, you know, are you in love with me? And the co-pilot looks at him. He's like, no. And you see him roll his eyes like, yes, I really am. It was just really funny. It's just really interesting to see. I haven't seen this type of humor, like I said, since the original movie Airplane. And that's from over 20, 30 years ago. Like I said, starring Robert Hayes. There's Airplane 1 and Airplane 2. And if you don't know what I'm talking about, look it up, Google it, look for it on like Netflix or Amazon Prime or YouTube, check it out or rent it. It's a really, really funny movies. They did two of them and they're both hilarious. So yeah, I would definitely encourage you to check it out. But, yeah, it was just, yeah, it's a really good, it's a really good series. So within that episode, as I was saying, so they spend the whole episode trying to, make sure the passengers don't freak out because there's a dead guy on the trip, and get the captain to get over what they call the yips. So, you know, you find out too that, you know, back in the day before he became a pilot, he was this all-star punter in football, supposedly. And he got so, he was on the track to being, you know, getting a college scholarship, and he got the yips. He started choking. He couldn't kick anymore. And then he got traumatized and he had to quit the team. And he says that he has panic attacks every time he walks by a football field. I mean, I'm not giving it justice. The delivery that Dylan McDermott gives when he talks about this, you will be cracking up. Like I said, you know, I'm just paraphrasing what he said, but it was just the delivery, the timing, the way he said it was just really funny. I really enjoyed it. So it's a good episode. And at one point, Ronnie tries to hide the dead body on the flight, and she puts these sunglasses on, and they say YOLO, and she's like, you're so right. You know, the irony, you only live once and this guy's dead. It's just Yeah. It's a good show. So definitely check out LA to Vegas. I think you guys will like it.
Tired of searching the vast jungle of podcasts? Now listen close and hear this out. There's a podcast network that covers just about everything that you've been searching.
Hey!
The Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network is here. Nothing less than a podcast bliss with endless hours of podcast coverage. From news, sports, music, fashion, cooking, entertainment, fantasy, football, and so much more. So stop lurking around and go straight out to the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. Guaranteed to fill that podcast itch. Whatever it may be. Visit us at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Follow us on Facebook and Twitter. And download us on iTunes, SoundCloud, and Google Play.
Hey, people. Welcome back. Once again, you're listening to Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, and I'm your host, Keith. And we were talking about LA to Vegas. Now we're going to talk about another new show called The Crossing, which just premiered on ABC, I believe on Sunday. And it's interesting. It's a new science fiction TV show. It's about these refugees. Basically, they're coming from a war-torn country, and they're looking for asylum, in America, or say on Earth. So, what happens is that the show opens up, and you see this woman swimming in the water, and you see all these other bodies laying in the deep blue sea, and they're like sleeping or like in suspended animation underwater, and you see this woman swimming over to this little girl, and she's like giving her mouth to mouth resuscitation. She's breathing into her. So I'm assuming that, you know, she's trying to give her life. So the scene, you see that, and then it cuts to, you see this yoga class, and you see this man trying to do a stance on his right hand side, and he's struggling. The whole class is doing well, and he's kind of struggling. Then all of a sudden, a deputy walks into the room and asks to speak to the man. You find out that he's the sheriff. This show stars Steve Zahn, who plays the town sheriff, Jude Ellis. And he tells him, "Well, sorry to interrupt, Sheriff, but there's a dead body, or there's a body that's been reported on the beach." And the sheriff looks at him like, you know, no one goes to that particular beach that you're talking about. He goes, "I know, but we got to go check it out." So, you know, as they're walking to the car, the deputy says to, you know, Sheriff Ellis, "Did you see stuff like this in Oakland?" So that lets us know that Sheriff Jude Ellis has this backstory of when he was a cop in Oakland, California, and possibly there was some drama and problems and some things that went down, and that's why he's looking to live the small town life now. So, and he says, yeah. So they drive to the beach, and they see this body laying face down. The sheriff, you know, turns the body over, and he checks it for a pulse, and he realizes the guy's dead. The deputy's standing over both of them looking out at the sea, and he's like, "Sheriff?" He goes, "What?" He goes, "Look up." And you see all these bodies floating to the shore. So they're like, "What the heck's going on?" So the sheriff's like, "Call, you know, for the ambulance right now. Call for the paramedics right now so we can get help for these people." So, you know, the next scene cuts to it being nighttime, and all these people have been washed ashore. And apparently there was 400 people floating in the water, and only 47 survived. So that's interesting. So I was saying to myself when I was watching this episode, why did it go from day to night so quickly? But if you got fish out 400 people floating, you know, in the water, that's going to take some time. I'll say, okay, I'll go with that. They'll take a few hours. So I can see that. So some people, you see some of the people come ashore, and, you know, they look at each other and like, "We made it. I didn't think we were going to be able to do it. We, you know, we're okay." Homeland Security gets invited to the party. So they're like, okay, you know, the main agent, you know, is played by Sandrine Holt. She is Homeland Security agent Emma Wren, and she's asking Sheriff, you know, Ellis, you know, "Can you tell me anything? Has anyone said anything to you about how they got here?" And he's like, "Everyone's been a shock." And he's like, were they from any boats? And she's like, you know, Agent Emma Wren is like, "No, there were no boats being reported. We don't know where they're from." And then the deputy says, "They didn't have any life jackets. None of them are wearing life jackets. So where are they from?" So, you know, just a big mystery of what's going on. So eventually, you know, the people who survived, you know, they're given blankets and food, you know, and they're getting help to get dried off and being taken care of. People are making sure they're okay. Doctors checking on them as well. So at this point, they're refugees, but they don't know from where. That's what it's looking like. There's a little girl sitting by herself on the beach. And of course, you know, Sheriff Ellis sees her, and he's like, you know, he's kind of concerned because, you know, this little girl who was part of this crew, and there's no one with her. So he goes over to her and he asks her, he goes, "You know, hi, which, you know, I'm Sheriff, you know, Jude Ellis. What's your name?" And she's like, "My name is Leah." And he's like, "You know, are your parents here?" And she points to the scene and says, "My mommy's there. you know, like, so the sheriff assumes that the mom is dead. So, of course, you know, that pulls on your heartstrings. Like, you see this cute little girl, you know, sitting on the beach by herself. And you're like, well, what's going to happen to this girl? And, you know, the sheriff's like, well, can you tell me what happened? And he's just like, she's like, well, no, we came here. He goes, well, why are you here? And she says, because of the war. And he says, there is no war. He said, and she says, it's coming. So, and then an older gentleman who overhears the conversation says, there's a lot more than what you guys know what's going on. So the next scene is, you know, Agent Emma Wren from Homeland Security interviewing the different, you know, survivors and asking them what's going on. And they all stick to the same story that we're not from here. We're from your future. And, you know, we came here because there's, you know, there's a war that decimated everything from where we're from. And this is where we wanted to be because we wanted to be safe. And that war is coming. And the people leading that war, they're called Apex. So, you know, Homeland Security agent, she doesn't know what to take of this. Neither does the sheriff. Well, the sheriff hasn't even heard what's going on. She's keeping him out of the loop. So, and of course, you know that when the, you know, FBI or any government agency gets a hold of a crime scene, you know, they always have the jurisdiction, at least in this country, in America, to take over it if they see fit to claim jurisdiction, you know. So, and that's what basically happened. And the agent, you know, Agent Wren, she's like, well, I think these people believe what they're saying, you know, and she's telling one of her colleagues that, you know, they all have a consistent same story. You know, no one really deviated from what they were saying. They're all consistent in what they're, you know, what they're saying about where they're from and why they're here. So the sheriff calls because when he gets back to the station, everyone's like, what's going on? We know there was a disturbance at the beach. What can you tell us? And he's like, well, let me stall them. Let me find out. He calls Agent Wren and she's like, well, no, actually he goes back to the beach and he's told he can't go in. So he meets Agent Wren, by the entrance of the beach, you know, off the road. And she's like, well, you know, we've taken jurisdiction and I can't tell you what's going on for your protection as well. And she's like, but I will, you know, provide you talking points. So when you have your press conference, you can, you know, tell them, you know, you can have something to say to them. So now, of course, he's going to be agitated that she's saying that to him and that she's kind of, you know, she's treating him like his position in the community is not important as sheriff, you know. So it's just like, and, you know, well, so we're going to get this to you. You know, like, we're going to spoon feed you information. So, of course, he's agitated about that. But at the same time, it's interesting because it's just like, how do you tell this person that these people are from the future? You know, no one's going to believe this story. So she's like, you know, we'll call you. We'll give you the information that you need. So later on, he gets that information. You know, she sends an agent over to his house and, you know, she gives him the folder. So, and then you see him have the press conference on TV. Now, the plot thickens because remember that lady at the beginning of the episode that was swimming in the water, you know, and breathing into a little child's mouth to give her air and oxygen? Well, she wakes up, you know, on some fisherman's boat, you know, far away from where all of her cohorts were. So, and, you know, she's just like, you know, where am I, you know? And, you know, did they make it? And the fishermen are like, what are you talking about? And she's like, I need for you to see, you know, look into this to see if any people showed up, you know, recently, you know, from the sea. So the guy's like, okay, there's a story. You know, there's some people that show up, you know, at this beach. So, you know, we'll be there soon. So I'll take you, you know, well, I have to do some more, you know, I have to find out more information. I don't know all the details, but whatever I find out, I'll let you know. So she's like, okay, you know, cool. And she's just real quiet. So, you know, I'm thinking this is Leah's mom. I mean, well, yeah, at this point, you know, it's Leah's mom, but it just hasn't been said yet. So, you know, she's this mysterious woman with black hair and you're just like, okay, so what's going to happen? You know? So the next scene, she's at this restaurant and she's eating because you tell she's hungry. The guy who, you know, found her in the sea comes, sits at the table and tells her, hey, yeah, there were some people found at this, you know, at this beach. I can take you there, but right now I'm getting more information. So just sit down and just relax and eat some more food. Get your sustenance, you know, just eat and get so you can get your strength. So she's like, okay. And she's all excited about, you know, being reunited, with the people who showed up. So now, mind you, she doesn't say she's looking for her daughter yet. She just, all you know as a viewer is that she's looking for the people. Now, so the next scene, it's like everything stops around her, like time is stopping. And, they cut and you're like, what's that about? So the sheriff, he gets a phone call. He calls his ex-wife because he wants to talk to his son. So now I'm liking this show. I'm liking how it's set up, but I get tired of the, I'm a police officer, I'm divorced, and I got a kid. That's become cliche. What would be new to me, if there's going to be a policeman on a TV show who's a main character, or a police woman, either one, or police officer, let them be married and have kids and try to juggle that while you got all this cool, crazy drama going on. Why don't we try that? Yeah, why don't we try that? Wouldn't that be nice? So the other thing's like a cliche. But yeah, so eventually, he's like, I want to hear my son's voice. And, the ex-wife's like, well, he's asleep right now. If I wake him up, he won't be able to go back to sleep. So he's like, okay, that's fine. So I'm going to tell you more about this after this break. So I'm just getting started. But yeah, we'll be back after this message.
Want to find out what movies to go see? Then check out the GSMC Movie Podcast. It's your ticket to the latest movies, whether it's a new blockbuster event, romantic, comedy, or action flick. This show has got it all covered. They talk some what to go see now. Don't bother. What's hot on Netflix and everything in between? That's gsmcpodcast.com/movie-podcast. When it's all about the movies, it has to be this new show. Don't forget to like them on Facebook and follow them on Twitter. Visit gsmcpodcast.com for more info.
Hey, what's going on, people? Once again, this is Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, and you're listening to Keith, that's me, good people out there in the universe and the earth. So we're talking about The Crossing. So yeah, as I was saying, the Sheriff Jude Ellis, he wanted to talk to his son and he couldn't. So he's like, okay, I'll talk to him later. Like I was saying earlier in the podcast, it'd be nice to see a TV show where the police officer is not divorced with a kid. there's got to be some police officers who are happily married, with the family. Just saying. I think that'd be interesting to see them balance that family life with the ongoing drama that happens within the show. So the next scene, remember I told you about how the lady who washed up on the shore was in the restaurant eating. She like kind of stopped time and looked around. The next scene is you see the sheriff in his car and he goes to start it and he looks down and his shotgun has been ripped out of its holster, like ripped out. And in the back seat, guess what? It's the lady from the restaurant, who's looking for the people. And she's pointing the rifle at him and she said, drive. I need you to take me to the dead people. So he takes her to the dead people. He does that. And she's like, what is this? He's like, you said you want me to take you to dead people. This is who they are. These are the dead people. She goes, were there any survivors? And he's like, well, yeah, you didn't say that. You just said the dead people. So they break into like a government facility where you see all the dead bodies. And after they have that exchange, the alarm goes off. Homeland Security storms in. He manages to take the gun away from her when they storm in, and he points it at her, and all of a sudden it's like she kind of stops time again for a quick second, and she starts beating up everybody, And then she leaps up on top of this like little stand, and then she leaps through the window, like flies out of the window and runs off. And there, everyone's looking like, what just happened? You know, was this like on some Bionic Woman stuff? Who is this? They got this on camera. So Agent, you know, Ren sees that, and they're like, you know, and then her colleague sees it too from Homeland Security, and like, what is going on? Now, mind you, there are some people, some survivors who are, you know, they're concerned about what's going to happen to them now that they're on, you know, on this old earth. And, you know, they don't know where they're going to be living, what's going to happen. And some of the other people are getting kind of squirrely about the whole thing. Like, hey, you know, are we going to be okay? So, and then one guy's like, well, I've got my own plan. He tries to make a deal and cut a deal. Like, you know, I need, you know, some assurances before I tell you more information about what's going on. I want to talk to your president. So this one guy says, you know, one of the survivors to Agent Wren, and she's like, well, you can talk to me, you know, because first of all, no one just gets to talk to the president just because you want to. It doesn't work that way. So he's like, well, I'll tell you this much. We're not the first ones to arrive here. So, you know, of course, that gets a curiosity. She sets up a meeting with her deputy undersecretary, who's her boss. He meets with the guy, and when the guy sees them, they meet at this clandestine bridge, and he's in the shadows. And when the guy's like, there's people who've come before me, and the undersecretary, you see his face, and the guy recognizes him. He's like, how long have you been here? So, you know, that scene ends. And, you know, Sheriff Ellis is like freaked out because he doesn't know what, you know, that lady had that, all that kind of strength. So, you know, the episode ends with he's at home. His son calls him on his ex-wife's cell phone to sneak a phone call to him. So Sheriff Ellis is happy to talk to his son. And the woman who escaped, you know, she sneaks into his house. She's got a gun, and she goes to where he was sitting. When she goes to where he was, he's not there. He has the dime on her. He's got his own, you know, shotgun pointing at her now. He's like, you know, what are you doing here? And she's like, you know, I could end you right now. He's like, well, you can try. And she's like, I need your help. He goes, well, what's your name? My name is Reese. So, you know, Reese is Leah's mom. And she's like, well, what do you need help with? He goes, I need to find my daughter. And then it ends with him saying, well, tell me everything. And he puts the gun down. So it looks like it's really interesting, because now the Homeland Security saw what she could do. They're like wondering if any of the people that they relocated, they did relocate the people to a little camp where they can live for now. But it's all off books. And Agent Wren is wondering if any other people who survived have the same powers as Reese. So it's going to be really interesting to see how this goes and how Sheriff Ellis figures out a way to try to reunite Reese with her mom. I mean, Reese with her daughter, Leah. So Leah doesn't know that her mom's alive. But it's, yeah, I'm looking forward to seeing how the story envelops. Once again, that's called The Crossing. So that's really cool. That airs on ABC. And that is on Sunday nights. So you should check it out. No, excuse me, Mondays. And it's at 10 p.m. Pacific Standard Time on ABC, The Crossing. So check it out. I think you'll like it. So, last but not least, Legion. I want to say The Legion. No, Legion on FX. Season 2 finally started. So, what do I want to say about this show? Where do I start? Legion is based off of a Marvel comic superhero, David Haller. He's a mutant. As a young boy, he always heard voices, so everyone thought that he was crazy and schizophrenic, so they were always medicating him. So he doesn't know it yet, but he's actually the son of Professor Xavier from the X-Men and a part of the X-Force. And he may very well be the most powerful mutant on Earth. Dan Steven plays David Haller. And he does a... It's a great job. The show is a trip. It's really, it's very trippy. I like it. And now, I like weird stuff. Don't get me wrong. And I love science fiction. And I watch all the superhero TV shows and movies whenever I can. And FX can be very cutting edge. They have Atlanta. They have this show. What do I say? So the last season ended with David defeating. So turns out that the schizophrenia that he thought he had wasn't schizophrenia. It was a living parasite in his head. It was a super villain named the Shadow King. It's a parasite that was feeding off of David and just warping David's sense of reality. So at the end of season one, he defeated the Shadow King, but then he got sucked into like this flying orb. It carried him away. And so the season two, episode one opens up with him. It's basically, you know, that ordeal felt like it just happened a day ago, but he finds out throughout the show, there's actually been a year since he disappeared. So when they found him and he was unconscious for a while and they finally got him to wake up, and the first thing he asks for when he wakes up is some waffles. Now, you know, his girlfriend is named Syd Barrett. I kid you not. Played by Rachel Keller. She does a great job. Aubrey Plaza is Lenny Busker, who's also the Shadow King, you know, his alter ego inside his head. So she has a very cool, dark, and sinister role in the show. The visions that you see with her inside David's head, they're kind of mess you up. And there's a scientist who has been frozen in suspended animation for years. And he's played by Jermaine Clement from the Flight of the Conchords TV show fame. So he plays the scientist. So when he finally wakes up in season one, he winds up getting possessed by the Shadow King and taking off. So now they're all trying to get to the Shadow King and destroy him. You find out throughout the episode that David is now with Division 3, and that's this, we assume, a government organization, secret organization that's dealing with these supernatural matters. And, you know, it's led by this guy named Admiral Fukuyama, and this guy is wearing a large head basket over his head, so you don't see his face. Very strange. And he's got these assistants, you know, these ladies with the Valiant haircuts, and they have mustaches, and they talk in a sing-song type of voice. So that just, I'm like, what is that? That's just like a little too weird. I don't get the purpose of that symbolism. I don't know what that's supposed to mean. It's kind of just off-putting, you know, because it's like, am I watching a superhero TV show or not? Or is this like some Twilight Zone stuff with a dude who's crazy, who's not, but is, who's got powers? What's going on? But what I do know is I can't stop watching. I'm curious to see how this all plays out. His girlfriend, Syd Barrett, yes, folks, the original lead singer from Pink Floyd. Someone's obviously a Pink Floyd fan. So, and I guess maybe the show is kind of directed in a kind of The Wall type of vibe. The Wall, I'm talking about from Pink Floyd in the 80s, that legendary concert film and double CD. But I digress. But yeah, she, you know, she doesn't want people to touch her. So, but she finds true love with David. You know, they meet in the insane asylum. And if people touch her, she takes on their body. That's why she's afraid to be touched. So it's, you know, but when she meets David, she's not really afraid. And like they have this whole fantasy, dreamscape, telepathy, mental thing going on. So the visions, I mean, the scenes and the symbolism and just the different flashes of things that you see in the show are very interesting. But basically, it's just, the show was just really, I mean, it's a cool show. The first episode is still kind of confusing, but I'm going to tag along to see what happens next, because, you know, they put David in this, like, this water tank to enhance his mental ability so he can try to track down the Shadow King. Because what you find out is that the Shadow King is looking to find his body. So once he can get back into his body, then he's unstoppable, allegedly. And it appears that maybe David's the only one who can stop him. So they put David in this water tank to boost his mental power so he can try to track him down. You find out that David finds the Shadow King and Lenny, so he's finding Oliver Byrd, who's Jermaine Clement, the scientist who was frozen, who got possessed by the Shadow King. So Oliver Byrd and Aubrey, they're possessing the Shadow King. David finds them at a disco and they have this dance off. And the end of the show, David's girlfriend, Sid, is asking him, are you keeping things from me? How come you're not talking about the things that you've seen? Are you lying to me? What's going on? You can tell me anything. No secrets. The end of the episode, he's in bed and you can see he gets up and there's a flash of like a dream sequence where you see, you see Lenny coming over to him and merging with him. So you find out that basically she got back into David's head again. So now we don't know what's going to happen. So David's keeping secrets, but there's also a scene where when he was in that orb, it's a flashback scene, and Sid was the one communicating with him, but she didn't talk. But so she would sign language kind of draw what was going on, and she basically told him to help the Shadow King find his body. So Dave's all confused, like, why am I doing that? But yeah, Legion is a cool show. Of course, it's executive produced by Stan Lee. I'm curious to see how the whole Professor X being his dad thing plays out, because David doesn't know that yet. So he doesn't know that he's tied to the X-Men. So I'm curious to see how this season goes. But that's on FX. You should check it out. It's a really good show. And that show, Legion airs Sunday nights. Yes, it does. On the FX channel. So check that out. Well, folks, thank you for listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast. This has been Keith. It's been great talking to you guys. Hope you had a good time. I know I did. And check out those shows. They're all really interesting. And I've got so much more TV to talk about in next upcoming episodes, where we'll be talking about stuff that's on Netflix and Amazon Prime and Hulu and stuff you should be looking for. Streaming is the future. So I'm so glad that it's here. Thanks again for listening. Universe, planet Earth, and I will see you somewhere out in space.
Keith, of course, already wrapped up this episode, but I just want to jump in here at the end to say once again, thank you so much for listening. We appreciate our listeners so much here at the GSMC Podcast Network. Do me a favor and send out your thoughts, your vibes, your prayers, whatever you got to the universe, or to the known universe, as Keith would say, that Keith is able to make it back to us next week. Like I said, he's okay. We're just hoping that he can get everything taken care of that needs to be taken care of. So come back to us, Keith. Give us a new episode of television. Thank you so much for listening. Join us again next time.
You've been listening to the Golden State Media Concepts Television Podcast, part of the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network. You can find this show and others like it at www.gsmcpodcast.com. Download our podcast on iTunes, Stitcher, SoundCloud, and Google Play. Just type in GSMC to find all the shows from the Golden State Media Concepts Podcast Network, from movies to music, from sports to entertainment, and even weird news. You can also follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. Thank you, and we hope you have enjoyed today's program.
With the Lucky Land Slots, you can get lucky just about anywhere.
This is your captain speaking. We've got clear runway and the weather's fine, but we're just going to circle up here a while and get lucky. No, nothing like that. It's just these cash prizes add up quick. So I suggest you sit back, keep your tray table upright, and start getting lucky.
Play for free at LuckyLandSlots.com. Are you feeling lucky? No purchase necessary. Void where prohibited by law. 18 plus terms and conditions apply. See website for details.